We're also joined by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning, everyone.
Chairman Connolly, the Providence Journal recently reported on how the state is facing a projected $237 million deficit for the next fiscal year. Given that, can the state afford to proceed with the phase out of the car tax?
Well, I think one of the things that shows is that the Senate's concern about prudently managing that car tax phase out was warranted. And there's going to be a lot of hearings about that deficit and how we address it. And that will certainly be one of the subjects. But I'm equally concerned about other priorities that we have and what happens. We have recently the state has asked a consultant to look at the condition of our school buildings throughout the state, a topic, frankly, that's been an interest of me to me since I entered the Senate. It was one of the reasons why I decided to run for public office, because of my concern for the condition of our schoolhouses throughout the state of Rhode Island. And, you know, it's about $2.2 billion in total. There's about $627 million needed to get the near term fixes, just to keep our students, you know, safe, warm, and dry. And then there's an additional $1.6 billion necessary in the long term for maintenance issues, to make sure that our teachers and our kids are in schools that have an environment that's appropriate for education.
As you say, the state has a lot of needs that cost a lot of money, but we've seen how the state budget has grown by billions of dollars over the last 10 years or so. Is state spending out of control?
It's not out of control. We need to meet the needs that the state has. It's not out of control. Do we need to maybe take a harder look or a more efficient look at how we get there? Sure we do. For instance, the Senate Finance Committee wants to get ahead of the curve, so we're not going to wait for the session to begin. We're going to be scheduling some subcommittee hearings this fall, in addition to the PSOX hearings. They're going to start to look at important budget issues when we look at this, we see the need to get out in front of it and to start the process early.
Let's go to Scott.
I mean, the biggest money in the state budget is in education aid to the cities and towns and social and medical programs. I mean, where in that huge piece of the budget can you find a place to trim?
Well, again, I don't know if it's a place to trim or if it's a way we find efficiencies. But that is what you've just asked is the critical question that we're going to have to look at going forward. And we're going to begin that process even before the session begins by looking at those social service, the status of those agencies. Are they meeting budget? If they're not, why they're not? And try to come up with some answers to that very important question.
Thousands of people in the pension plan for Fatima Hospital in North Providence are facing a potential slashing of their benefits, as we've seen in the news recently. This is a big concern for the president of your chamber, Dominic Ruggiero, since he represents North Providence. Where do you put the responsibility for how this situation came about?
Well, I think the Senate president did exactly what the situation called for by asking for an investigation. It is difficult to understand, you know, why a plan that was 90% funded just 3 years ago all of a sudden is going into receivership. I think the teachable moment in all of this, though, is that throughout the state of Rhode Island, there's these private plans that our retirees count on. And while there's been a lot of attention on public pension plans, I think we need to start to look at those private plans as well, because we don't want to see other retirees affected by surprise the way it happened with St. Joseph.
Is the Hospital Conversion Act not strong enough, or did the Attorney General drop the ball on this one?
Well, I don't think the Attorney General dropped the ball, but I do think we need to look at that Hospital Conversion Act, particularly to this circumstance. We knew it was a closed plan, so you know there's no money going in and benefits are being paid out. Either through the hospital conversion plan or some other means, that warranted examination then, and it warrants further attention now.
We're talking here with William Conley, chairman of the Rhode Island Senate Finance Committee. Recently, three people with legislative connections have been appointed as magistrates. Supporters say they're well qualified, but there's not an opportunity for the public to comment on these nominations before these people are confirmed. Is that appropriate?
Well, I think the first thing that needs to be said is the system works. My practice brings me into the courts every day. It's a rare day that I'm not in court. Since 2007, when the magistrate system was essentially developed and put into place, what we've seen in the courts is the backlog has gone down. When I have to go to court for routine matters, I am there less time. My clients pay less to me for the efficiency of that. So the system seems to be working. And so I think that's first and foremost what needs to be said.
Fine if magistrates are helping to relieve stress on the court system, but why not give the public an opportunity to weigh in on people who are nominated as magistrates?
Well, we have advice and consent hearings. So the public is invited to attend those hearings and say what they need to say. But the other part of that process is that given what the magistrates do, the presiding justices of each of the courts are in a great position to know what's needed and what skill sets best match those needs. And so it's the presiding justices that are making those recommendations, subject to advice and consent.
But it does, Chairman, look like an insider Lollapalooza. One thing I've noticed is a real dearth of minority candidates who get to be magistrates. And we know, I think it's a scandal almost, how few minority justices we have on the Superior, Supreme, and District Courts, very few. And I'm just wondering that by this insider type of game that we play with the magistrates, are we kind of putting a cork in the bottle and stopping more minority candidates from getting consideration?
I will agree with you that we need more diversity in our judicial system and that we need to improve the process to accomplish that. So I think that's a valid point. I hope, for instance, that those involved in the process, including the presiding justices of each of the courts, will take that into account going forward. But I agree with you on that point.
Chairman Conley, you represent East Providence. What is in the water there that makes local politics so curious? And are you backing anyone for mayor there?
No, I'm not backing anyone for mayor at this time. You know, I do agree with the voters' decision to go to a mayor form of government there. And one of the reasons that I agree with it is because I hope that it will be an opportunity maybe for people who traditionally have not been involved in the political process there to see the chance to be a leader in the community and to have real authority to accomplish something, get into politics. So I think that's going to be a very interesting process.
Why are the politics in East Providence so chippy on the city council?
Well, I think you have diverse personalities there. And I think councils all across the state of Rhode Island and probably all across the republic are often affected by the specific personalities that serve. And I think that's one of the things that we see going on in East Providence.
All right, we're out of time, so we have to leave it there. Thanks for joining us, Scott.
Great to be here.
And the chairman of the Rhode Island Senate Finance Committee, William Conley, an East Providence Democrat.
Thank you.